Hello, 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 everyone. It's time for another episode of Unearthed, where we retell the stories of lives lived by impressive women. Aoife, Sinead, how's your day going?
It's going good. Becca, how are you?
I'm good, to be honest. I'm really ready for like the weekend and just to be able to relax and de-stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this week has been a crazy week for me.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. Me too. But the summer is looking nice, and for all those people not from Ireland, the sun literally stays up until like 10 p.m. here.
I know.
It's incredible. Mm-hmm. I wish Florida was like that.
Is it not?
Yeah, no.
No, Florida is not like that. Like 8 p.m. would be pretty late.
Like the sunshine Dreaming. State.
Yeah, literally. But yeah, I can't complain myself. Like it's shaping up to look like a good, nice Irish summer. And so on that note, the life story we're going to tell today is that of Faith Spotted Eagle, a Native American activist, peacemaker, educator, therapist, and self-proclaimed hellraiser. So you know you're going to like her. she was born in 1948. So she's actually in her early 70s now, but still very much a part of all these circles. She's deeply committed to her community. She's a founding member of the Brave Heart Society, which is basically a group that helps the Native American community, specifically the Sioux Nation. She also helped develop the first Native women's shelter, and she provides PTSD therapy for veterans and tribes. Now, before today, had you guys heard of Faith Spotted Eagle at all?
No, I haven't actually. So
no, neither have I.
Yeah, this is actually quite common, like even with Americans, because she was very prominent in protests against access and oil pipelines. And so a lot of people have actually seen her picture because there's a very infamous picture of her protesting. But a lot of people don't know her name. And so I thought that was a really good reason to kind of tell her story today. To give a little background, the Native American community in the United States, there's a lot of prejudice against them because a lot of people assume that they're uneducated, or if they are educated, they're only educated on the reservation. But Faith Spotted Eagle is a very educated woman. She attended American University in Washington, D.C., and later went on to get a master's in educational psychology and counseling from the University of South Dakota. So she knows her stuff. She's literally like a certified counselor. She's also a native speaker of Lakota, which is the language of the Sioux Nation, and she learned English from a very young age, so her English is really good. Her specialty counseling is in PTSD treatment, and she's even served as a delegate at the UN. So this girl has literally done it all. She's most famous, though, for being the leader of the fight against the Keystone and Dakota Access oil pipelines. Now, both of these protests were really widely covered in the States, but I'm wondering if you guys have ever heard of these protests against the oil pipelines.
Mm. Yeah, that was pretty yeah, prolific big coverage. Hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad to hear it because I feel like you guys will tell me things from Irish history and you're like, yeah, this was really important here. It was really big around the world. And being, you know, an American and we're so ethnocentric, I'm like, I've literally never heard of that in my life.
I've noticed that Irish news, like, because I follow like a multitude of like news outlets and like international news, and like Irish news just doesn't seem to feature on the world stage a lot. So
no, it doesn't. Yeah. And even in like the Irish Times and such, they mention so many American things.
Yeah.
Like constantly. Yeah. I know. Genuinely. I was shocked when my partner here, he knows so much about American politics and I know so little about Irish politics.
Is he Irish?
Yeah, he's Irish. Okay, he's from Donegal.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. So you got the accent to continue.
Oh, yeah. I got the accent. I got all the boxes checked. But he knows so much about American politics, and I know nothing about Irish politics and history. I feel like the more I learn that I don't know anything. So it is refreshing that you guys have heard of the Dakota Access Pipeline protest, because they were really widely covered in the news. And essentially this pipeline is over 1,000 miles long. It's massive. It's a huge underground oil pipeline that runs through North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and Illinois. And this is like a massive project. It can't be overstated how much it cost, how large it was. The cost of construction is literally in the billions of dollars. Like, that is a lot of money. And the construction began in 2014 and unfortunately finished in 2017. And many people, especially Native Americans, were pissed. Imagine having like a graveyard with your entire family in it, and this construction company is like, yeah, we're just gonna dig through that and then taint all of the water that you drink every day.
Crazy.
And you have no say in it. Can you imagine? Of course they'd be angry. And this is affecting literally thousands upon thousands of people. It's not just one graveyard per se. It's massive swaths of sacred land to Native American communities. And so basically over 15,000 people organized at one specific sit-in and gathered to protest this pipeline. And protests start as early as 2014, but they really reached their peak in 2016. And of course, immediately, in typical American style, they send in the National Guard, which the National Guard is like a reserve group of the Army and the Air Force that's meant for emergencies. Mm. It's meant for like terrorism. It's meant for like people are invading and you're like, send all of the National Guard now to protect America. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that we see so many of these peaceful protests, America's first response is to be like, let's send in literally the military against our own people.
Yeah.
And again, these aren't even active members. These are reserve members. They're chilling at home on their couch. They don't want to mess with these peaceful protesters. Like, I have members of my family in the National Guard because it's nice compared to active, you know, deployment, because you're home the vast majority of the time. You're only called for emergencies. And so I'm thinking, as a National Guard member, if I was called to attack these peaceful protesters who literally just want the right to clean water and the right to their own land, I would be pissed.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine.
It's beyond maddening. Hearing about it, it just doesn't make sense, you know?
It doesn't. And it's a tale as old as time, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tale that we hear so much with the usage of, like, the military and the police state in the United States. And so sometimes I feel like a broken record, like I'm literally just saying the same thing over and over again. But until we see progress, I guess we have to keep telling the same story.
It's like, I think we're desensitized to it as well. Sorry, I mean like we as in, you know, the public. And I know I'm not American, but I think we do get desensitized to hearing these stories about, you know, the National Guard. We're just like, oh, okay, you know, another... It's nearly become like expected, which is the sad thing, you know, as someone just reading the news.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Like, when I was researching these protests, nobody dies directly as a result of these protests. A ton of people are injured, literally hundreds. Hundreds are arrested. People are attacked by dogs, bitten by dogs. But my first instinct, my first thought was, well, at least no one died. No one was shot. Yeah. And that's an awful way to approach situations.
Absolutely.
Like this. You know, and so Sinead, I think you're right on that, like, we've just become so desensitized to these issues, but that's why it's so important to continually talk about them, but also humanize them by focusing on people like the Spotted Eagle, so you feel a bit more attached to them, so you feel a little bit more like this is a lived story, this is a lived person. And so the National Guard comes in, and they bring dogs, they attack people, they unleash them, there's riot gear involved. And they use water cannons, which doesn't sound as bad as the dogs, right? But that's actually the huge like trigger in news coverage, because North and South Dakota are cold, y'all. Like, like cold. I mean, you guys are from Ireland, so I feel like maybe I don't have to emphasize this as much. But being from Florida, like even going in the ocean and getting out in Florida, I'm cold. To be in November, in literally one of the most northern parts of the United States, having water blasted at me outside. That's so inhumane. And a lot of people are actually hospitalized from like hypothermia and stuff as a result of this. And so the media coverage just booms and there's a bunch of backlash. And I just keep thinking, like, do you think police in Ireland would ever do something like that? Like, I realize that they're not perfect, but I was trying to imagine a situation where, like, the riot gear would be whipped out, water cannons, attack dogs on peaceful protesters.
No, I don't think we have the, like, the infrastructure or the resources.
No,
you know what I mean?
No.
So, like, our police force don't carry guns. You know, it's only, like, special for, you know, we don't have, I don't know about you, if you know more, Aoife, about it, but
No, definitely. I think there's much more kind of intended anyway to be more peaceful, and like just they don't have the kind of resources like they have in the States. But like what I was just thinking when you were talking about the water, I was just thinking like even the pure force of water of the cannons, like sure, that would cause injury like in itself, you know, just thinking of, you know, really strong blast of water coming towards me. Oh, it just, yeah, it's cruel. It really is.
Yeah, there's a reason it's called a water cannon and not a water hose, you know?
Yeah.
Like that word was specifically used, and all I could think about was during the civil rights movement in the States, fire hoses were used really commonly against African American protesters. And so I just kept seeing that image like over and over again in my mind. And that was like 50 years ago, 50 plus years ago. And it's just, I hope things will change by the time I end up, you know, having kids and starting the next generation, because I'm real tired of this same story. And Sinead, you raise a good point about the police in Ireland. This is something that shocks Americans. The guards here or the police, they don't have guns except like very specific
Yeah.
units that are trained and they're
The
marked
army. Yeah.
specifically. Yeah,
Yeah.
their vehicles. And even to me, that was shocking because I knew that there weren't really a lot of guns in Ireland in general, especially handguns. But the fact that even the police largely, you know, don't have them, that shocked me at first. I was like, how can a police force be effective without guns? Because that's how brainwashed I was over like the police state that is the United States. And obviously now I've lived here almost a year and I realize very much so that you can be an effective police force and not have to use violence at every single stop. But I think to Americans, that is such a bizarre concept for your police force not to have guns or weapons like that.
But I think as well, and I don't know if this applies, and I know Irish people will say this a lot, is we are a colonized nation. So I think our police force was set up relatively recently, and we were, you know, I suppose, I don't know how to say it, but the British were kind of our police force up until like, you know, the early 1900s, I think. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think that has a lot to do with it as well. Like we are the colonized, not the colonizers. So that could have something to do with it, but I'm not an expert. I don't know.
Oh no, I think it definitely has something to do with it. Like, you know what it's like to be the oppressed,
And I
you
think the
know?
situation is different in the north. I think the police force are armed up there, but I'm not 100% sure. Do you know, Aoife?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think they could be. I think they could be.
But I'll
But I'm
check
not
that.
100% sure, yeah. But I'm like totally terrified of just the use of like not only the police force having guns, but like, you know, the general public in the United States as well. I just think it's, you know, it's way too freely available and it just incites violence. I think like if it's like accessible for you, you're obviously more likely to use it, whereas if it's not accessible, you don't have access to it. And I really worry about that, you know, just for the general public over there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I'll just say this one last comment and then we'll continue because we could literally discuss this all day. And I do feel very passionately about it because I am from the South. I am from a very rural community where guns are just a way of life. But I do think, like you made the point, Aoife, if we want less mass shootings, if we want less risk of violence at every step of the way, decreased access is the way to go. And I'll end it on that. But continuing, so Faith Spotted Eagle during these protests is very much like a leading voice. She organizes the Sioux Nation with other Native American communities. She organizes just allies who want to help that aren't necessarily Native American. And she speaks to the press a lot. But unfortunately, the oil corporations win, which, you know, I feel like we expect because they have so much money. And you have to remember, this is literally right when Trump is getting elected too in November 2016. And so the pipeline is completed, it's fully operational. On the bright side of things, like the courts continuously challenge its existence, like to this day, and it was even closed temporarily because a court cited that they hadn't done extensive enough research into the potential damages. But then another court, in true American fashion, overturned that decision. And so it was briefly paused for like 2 weeks. And then another court was like, actually, we need this, or the oil corporations are going to get mad. So it's still being debated. You know, like the Sioux Nation in particular is suing them for the construction of it, and Faith Spotted Eagle continues to be like a very prominent component in this fight. But unfortunately, the protests do not win. And so, to end kind of on a bright note, in 2016, Faith Spotted Eagle becomes the first Native American to receive an electoral vote for president,
Oh, wow.
Which
Wow.
is a big deal. I
Yeah.
know, I don't know how much you guys know about like the Electoral College and all that complicated crap, which is a whole nother
I found out
debate.
a lot about it around, when Trump was voted in. I mean, it's just a complicated, I don't know.
Oh yeah. Oh
It's
yeah.
really
It's been
fascinating though as well. It's like, yeah, the American political kind of system, the electoral system is yeah, quite complicated, but really fascinating and exciting to watch
I think
from afar anyway.
I'm glad it's fun for you guys.
you know what baffles me? What baffles me is how much of like people's identity is like located on whether they're a Democrat or a Republican. Like it's I don't think it's well I mean I know there's like Fianna Fáil fam like it's but I don't feel it as strongly here that you were like assigned to one or the other, and that's kind of like I don't know, it's a strange one for me.
Oh yeah, it's very, very divisive. Like my family for the most part is very Republican. There are a few of us Dems, thrown in there, but it's just such a divisive topic. And the Electoral College, that's what matters, not the popular vote at
Yeah, it's
all.
crazy.
And so the fact that Faith Spotted Eagle got one of those votes, especially in 2016, when it's Clinton versus Trump and the Electoral College was so important, is really interesting to note. And it's also interesting to note that Faith Spotted Eagle was very pro Bernie Sanders. Shout out to the Bernie gang. But
I
she
love
was
him.
pro oh,
Yeah,
me
me
too.
too.
I was a fan back then. I was a fan in 2020, Bernie gang till I die. But Faith Spotted Eagle was not a big fan of Clinton. I wouldn't go as far as to say that she was like anti-Clinton, going out there and being like, I hate Hillary Clinton. But she actually got some criticism for being such a strong Bernie fan, which I think is a little unfair, especially I probably say that because I got that myself, back in the day. And a lot of people were kind of mad that she got this one electoral college vote, but that's not how much Trump won by. He won by a lot of electoral college votes. And so the fact that like this is a huge moment in history, a Native American has an electoral vote, but people are also pissed because she got this one vote. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, just let the whole oil access pipeline protest end on a semi-positive note. Like, let people be happy, Yeah. And I think it's just a testament to like her power in the Native American community and the political community that she was able to get this one vote, even though she wasn't running. The Sioux tribe that Faith Spotted Eagle is from, she actually has Irish ancestry, which I thought was hilarious. Her grandma was half French and half Irish. Isn't that hilarious? And so we've got that Irish descent in there. You'll find it everywhere in the
You'll
States.
find it everywhere.
I feel like there are way more Irish Americans than Irish people. Like,
I
you know.
Oh, for sure. For
Oh yeah,
sure.
definitely. And so I do want to end and continue on a positive note. I think the words of Faith Spotted Eagle and this specific quote play really nicely to our prior discussions about what it means to resist and how just being is a form of resistance. And so Faith Spotted Eagle said, "The resistance has always been in my blood and spirit since I was born." She was great. She's like 73 now. She's still like yelling and fighting the National Guard.